Will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5? This morning we'll be reading verses 11 through 12. Beginning in verse 11. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, your grace is truly amazing. Father, your mercy to us is unspeakable. Father, the depths of your love, your conquering work of salvation, are too much for us to attain. Father, I stand here this morning only because of you. Father, if my words this morning are truth, it's only because of you. If your word is heard and your glory is seen, it's only because of you. Father, give us eyes, give us ears, so that we may see and hear who you are and enjoy you for who you are. Father, may you grow us in righteousness this morning. May you grow us in the knowledge of the glory of Christ so that we may see you. Father, help us to understand the truth of your word, because without you, it is just words on a page, letters in a sentence, meaningless. Father, bring them life. Bring them strength. Bring them beauty, because you have spoken them, because you continue to speak them. Father, teach us this morning. Break us this morning. Strengthen us this morning. Kill us so we may be made alive. Father, strike us down so we may be lifted up. Father, humble us in your presence for your glory and for our great, great eternal joy. We ask these things in the name of Christ, and all God's people said, amen. I want us to review this morning the 4 points that we have already pulled from these verses. First, Jesus pronounces a state of blessedness on the believer for his being persecuted because of their relationship with him. Second, that our relationship with Christ, our union with Christ, is inseparable. Third, it is the heavenly mindedness of a believer that produces a life of joy and gladness in the midst of suffering for the glory of God. Fourth, Christ himself is our very great reward. The fifth truth we will look at this morning comes from the same phrase as last week, for your reward is great in heaven. I guess more specifically, we will try and answer the question, what will heaven be like? So this morning, what I would like to do is to walk through the book of Revelation and try and get a glimpse at the glories that await the children of God. We have looked already and seen that Christ himself is our great reward. We've talked about that this great reward is in heaven. And so this morning, by God's grace, I would like us to see heaven itself. There's so much today that is talked about heaven that is idolatry. There is so much today that is talked about heaven that is mere fancies of the man's mind. But there is so much glory for us to see in heaven now that it should encourage our hearts to press on to see glory in our own eyes and with our own eyes. And so turn to the book of Revelation this morning. And we will start in verse 1. John, as he writes Revelation, says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. We must stay focused this morning as we walk through this book. We must not lose sight of what the main intention of the book is. We must, by faith, see what God intends the church to see, and that is the person, the work, and the worth of Jesus Christ. If we make the book of Revelation have a different main purpose, we miss what God intended. There are many beautiful things in the book of Revelation, but they are only beautiful if we see them in the understanding that the main point of the book of Revelation is to see the Son. It is to see Jesus Christ. It is the gift to the church. We are His servants, and that word should be His slaves. We have been purchased with the price, and the glory and the gift that God the Father gives His children is to see the Son. And so if we miss the Son this morning, we will miss the blessing that God has for His church. Look at verse 1 and continue. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show to His servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, and faith produced by hearing will produce obedience. Let me say that again. And faith produced by hearing will produce obedience. This is the blessed man. There are things in this book that are so glorious we can commit idolatry if we are not careful. Let me say that again. There are things in this book that are so glorious we can commit idolatry if we are not careful. If we are not diligent to hunger and thirst for Christ as the satisfaction of our souls, our hearts can have their affections given to another. This is damaging to our faith, and it's not honoring to God. This is what happened to John. Listen to his testimony. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and the prophets and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. The goal of the book of Revelation is to instill in the church a true worship of God. And this worship of God is produced through faith in Christ. By our faith in Christ, we see the glory of God and we are brought into a right worship in spirit and in truth. Saving faith desires to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And God graciously and mercifully gives us the book of Revelation so that by faith we may see Jesus in all His heavenly glory. Think about it. God is giving John a gift of grace to see these things. And John tells us that there was a point when he was overcome seeing these glories that he fell down to worship an angel. And the angel did not say, well, since I'm a heavenly being, since I have no sin, continue your worship. He says, no, stop. Stop doing that. I am your servant with you. I am a fellow servant, servant to help you see and worship God. Don't do that. We are to worship none other than God Himself. And God the Father, being gracious to us, has given us the Son. He has given us the Son in a way that He has placed all His glory in the Son. And the Son radiates the glory of the Father. And the Son is the glory of the Father. And as we see the Son, we see the Father. And as we see the Son, we are set free. Let us walk by faith together this morning. and see the glories of Christ. And I am just taking but a few passages this morning. There are so many that show the glory of Christ in this book. But turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And remember, protect your heart as we read that we see Christ in His beauty and we're not caught up in the secondary glories that are meant to reflect His glory. After this, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. This is the center of heaven. The center of heaven is this throne with the one seated on the throne. This should be the center, the focus point of where we look as we read. Verse 3. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third living creature with the face of a man. And the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the 4 living creatures, each of them with 6 wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "What is the response? What is the response of these creatures? What is the response from the throne room of God?" It isn't about the creatures. It isn't about the elders. It isn't about the multiple seats. It isn't about the gold crowns. Listen to what they say. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." In other words, as John sees this scene, he's trying to paint for us with words the majestic glory that surrounds this throne. But the things that surround the throne are there to radiate the glory of the one who is on the throne. Not to worship them, not to call out to them, not to cry out to them, but to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This should be the cry of our heart as we see glories in Scripture, as we are stunned, as we see the reflections of Christ lived out in His people, as we see the glory of God on the pages of Scripture, we should be stunned and our heart should cry out, "Holy are You, Lord! Holy alone are You, Lord!" That's what these angels, these beasts are crying out, these creatures. They're saying in such a way that alone deserves worship to You, alone deserves honor and praise in the past, in the present, and in the future, because You and You alone are holy. This is central to the gospel. If God is not holy, how can we ever be made righteous? Because we are so unholy. It must be the gracious deeds of the Holy One to give us His righteousness so that we may enter glory and be pleasing to the Father. Verse 9, "And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever." In other words, the scene continues. It's almost as if the majestic scene is too much, even for the elders. And as they hear these creatures cry out, they're once again reminded, we are in the presence of holiness. We are in the presence of the only sovereign of the universe. And their response is to fall on the ground. The response is to say, if you saw something in this crown beautiful, I lay it at his feet. Everything I do, I want to bring honor to the one who is on the throne. Listen, they cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And we're told in the book of Hebrews that he sustains everything by the word of his power. So God created it, God sustains it. God is the sovereign of the universe. We must not lose sight of Christ as John tries to put into words what he is seeing and experiencing. It is and must always be about God and his glory. This scene is not meant to exalt man, beast, angel, or any other creature. God alone is to be praised. Let's continue in verse 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look in it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing. We have a risen king. He's not in a grave. He's not on the cross. He is alive. He is on his throne in heaven. He has accomplished the sacrificial work of the Father. He has accomplished the death that the Father required. And he is seated on the throne in full sovereignty. John continues, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This is what we saw this morning in baptism. We saw a testimony from those five that came before you. Those five were saying by their acts of faith, they were saying that worthy is the Lamb, that he was slain for me, and that I am from a nation that God is at work, that he is redeeming his people, that he is calling us home, that he is saving us from our sins, and he is calling us to be his people. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I want to see in that scene, I want us to see in that scene is that even though there's many angels, a myriad of angels, thousands and thousands of angels, as you take this group collectively, they don't say, because we're a group, because there's many of us, we're going to supersede his glory. They don't say that. In other words, John is seeing this endless stream of angels, and these angels don't rise up and say, we are more worthy because there is more of us. Instead, they say, worthy is the Lamb. In other words, the whole focal point of the worship of heaven is about the Lamb, about Him being slain, but being alive. They're not worshiping a dead Lamb. They're worshiping the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 13, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped." It stuns me week after week. Every time we rise to sing and the songs that come on the screen and the words that the Lord has already impressed upon me and the scriptures that He has led me to as we're singing songs, God by His Spirit is weaving our hearts as we sing, weaving our hearts as we listen to Scripture, to have our hearts positioned in such a way that we are humbled in the presence of the King and we will worship in a godly manner. Yes, Jesus is our friend. And yes, the Bible says He sticks closer than a brother. But in those points, we can never, ever, ever strip Him of His divinity. He is God and He is worthy of our praise. Go to Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Revelation 7, starting in verse 13. "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Think about that imagery. White is the sign of purity. Blood is red. Blood is dirty. If you ever cut yourself, it is a mess. It gets on your clothes. And the imagery there is that they have clothes. They have clothes that are white, that are pure, and they are made pure by the blood of the Lamb. Not used as a dye to take out stains out of an old garment, but the view is that they have garments that have been purified by the blood of the Lamb, and the garments that we wear, the garments that cause us to be acceptable to the Father, are none other than the righteous deeds of Christ. Jesus imputes to us His righteousness, and we stand before the Father clean and holy. Verse 15, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him night and day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Heaven is about God. It's about us serving Him. It's about us worshiping Him, not serving Him as if He needs anything, but serving Him out of His worthiness. It's an honor and a privilege to serve our King. Go to Revelation 11, verse 15. "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has come, the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to You, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for You have taken Your great power and begun turned to rain. The nations raged, but your wrath came. And the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. In other words, there's a time when our hearts will be so filled with the joy and the glory of God that even in His judgments, even in His wrath, we will see His beauty as He rules with justice and honor and truth. And that He will reward His servants. He will reward His prophets. He will reward His saints and those who fear His name, both small and great, not because we have earned it, not because we deserve it, but because of Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He continues to do. The blessings that await in heaven are because of Jesus and for Jesus. Go to chapter 15, verse 2. Revelation 15:2. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glory in your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And again, the end of that praise is what the book of Revelation and the Bible is about, is that we have a loving God who has revealed Himself to us. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Think about the passage in Matthew where judgment comes and those in the passage say, but look at all the things we've done. We've done all these mighty deeds. We've cast out demons. We've taught in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. See, the lips that understand grace is that when we do anything that is right, it is for the praise of our King, not for the praise of ourselves. And as they sing this song in heaven, there is only praise to God. But there is a fearful question in verse 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? And those that are in Christ have a holy fear, have a righteous fear, have a reverent fear. And we will fear and glorify God for all eternity. But there are those who believe not in Christ. There are those who believe not in His righteousness. There are those that try to earn their way to God, earn their way through many different roads. And those people will answer verse 4 very differently. Yes, they will fear the Lord. And yes, they will glory God. But they will only fear God in a way of a mighty, mighty, wrathful God coming down upon them. And they will only glorify God when they receive His wrath and due judgment. For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. Why will all nations come and worship you? Why will all nations come and worship God? We already had the answer in chapter 5. Because Jesus Christ has purchased men for God from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. It is the work of Christ that we are praising here. It is the work of Christ that brings us to a point of worship. It is the work and worth and the person of Christ that has been revealed to us. Go to chapter 16, verse 4. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." Again, the righteous judgment of God is a focal point of our praise. Verse 7. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God the Almighty. True and just are your judgments." And I believe these are the martyrs from chapter 6, who in chapter 6 cried out, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And God's answer was, "Now." It'll be now. And the people, those that were martyred for Christ under the altar, as they worship the sovereign, they call him sovereign Lord, holy and true. And as they worship and wait for his just judgment, this is their response. "Yes, Lord, God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." We worship the judgment of God, but as we live now, we must proclaim that there is a hell to come, that there is a judgment to come. We are to proclaim to our families and our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and people that we bump into the street, "Flee from the coming wrath. Flee from the coming wrath. I know it to be true because God has set me free by the blood of the Lamb." See, our salvation proves that there's a hell to come. Our salvation proves that there was blood spilled to set people free, and there will be blood spilled for those who do not believe. Those under the altar now declare yes and amen with the judgment of God. Revelation 19, turn there please. Starting in verse 1. "After this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants.' Once more they cried out, 'Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, 'Amen! Hallelujah!' And from the throne came a voice saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.' Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like a roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" In other words, Jesus is speaking to the church, and as we read the word, as the word is preached, Jesus is preaching to the church, "Worship God, worship God. Don't worship creatures. Don't worship the creation. Worship the Creator, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords." Listen to how Jesus speaks to end this letter. And so gracious of God. He could have killed John as he worshiped that angel. And instead, he graciously uses the angel to lift him up from his idolatry and set him free in the direction to worship God. God is so gracious to us. Our heart has wandered so many times to things, to trinkets, to stuff, even to gifts from his heavenly hand, and we worship them and we commit idolatry. And God is so gracious to us. Listen to the words. Just listen. Don't read. Just listen. These are the words of our King as the book closes out. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Our hearts, as we read these words, as we listen to God this morning, as we hear Him saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is Him. This is Him. Listen to Him. These are the words of God to the church. We are to follow Jesus. We are to listen to Him and we are to worship Him. He is our King. And our King promises one thing that we could live not without, is that He is coming again to get us. This world is not our home. This world is a place that causes us to stumble. This world is a place where our heart runs after day, that we must kill the desires of our heart. And the strength to go on is that our reward is in heaven, and that in heaven it will still be all about Him. If we don't make our life here all about Him, why do you want to go there? Why do you want to rejoice when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, I am coming? And the vision of His coming is that He's coming in His fury and His wrath. But He's coming in His grace and His glory for His children. The Bible says He came the first time to be slain. He comes the second time to slain. Our King is coming. He's a mighty King. He's not a feeble King. He's not an impotent King. He is a mighty King, and He will do what He promises. And so as we come to a close this morning, as we come to a close with the Word of God, but not a close, I pray for the worship today, that we will continue to think and ponder that the words of the gracious God that we worship promises that our King is coming. And the King is coming in such a way that, as you heard, the Spirit says, come. In other words, our faith should desire day after day, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. May it be so today. But there are days where our heart just wanders and drifts. But praise God, by the Spirit that He has placed in us, it compels us to hunger. It compels us to yearn for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come and rescue His people. A right view of heaven causes our hearts to yearn for Jesus and to be where He is forever and ever. And all God's people say amen. Let's pray. Father, You are altogether lovely. And You have graciously shown us Your loveliness in Your Son. Father, we thank You for His death. We thank You for the work of redemption. We thank You for the perfect life lived in our behalf. We thank You for the perfect death died in our place. We thank You that the perfect Holy One bore the curse for us. But we also thank You, Father, that He's not in the grave, that He has risen and taken His rightful seat as the sovereign of the world. Father, may our hearts be protected from idolatry. May our hearts be protected from a false view of heaven. And may our hearts be consumed with a view of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that carries us through great tribulations. Father, help us to worship. Help us to worship you. Protect us. Be gracious to us when we stumble like our brother John. Be gracious to us and pick us up. Be gracious to us and point us towards the Son so that we may be pleasing to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.